Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Would you please bow your heads for a moment to pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there's a Latin phrase for that. It's called fiat lux, let there be light. And if you read the Old Testament in Latin, you'll hear that right there. And God said, fiat lux. And the next phrase, erat lux, there was light. Today, we hope that this word and my explication of it will grant a bit of light into your heart and your life as you proceed in your mysterious calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in East Tennessee in 2019. How many of you know about playing by the rules? When the kids were up here, I was going to ask them about games, but, you know, we can't do that always. But if you have ever been in a playground contest, you know that you've got to play by the rules. The teacher will watch, and if you don't play by the rules, go over there, sit down. You're not part of the group. We know how that works. Those 10 guys in our gospel lesson today, they were sick. They had a terrible disease we now call Hansen's disease. The nerves go away and your skin deteriorates and you can lose pieces of your body. But people didn't like that because they didn't know what was happening. Didn't have hospitals and medicines and stuff like that then. So these guys were living off by themselves, maybe in a cave someplace. And when Jesus came by, they had to conquer that first thing. Why me, Lord? I've been playing by all the rules. I go to Shabbat. I hear the readings. I pray, and then I'm sick. That happens in our life and our world too. When we get a report from the doctor, we want you to come back in because there's something we've noticed. When we face that, we have another thing. Well, why me, Lord? You know, I've been good. I've been trying my best. And no, I'm not perfect, but I try my best. I try to live by the rules. And then we see people that don't live by the rules have all the good stuff. That's not fair. Why is this happening? We just do what we're told, and they seem to do other things. Why is that happening? Here these 10 guys were, and Jesus came, and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. Kyrie eleison. Like we sing when we come to church. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And Jesus did something really unusual. He told them, you guys, go. Show yourselves to the priest. And on the way, they were made healthy, complete. No more things missing. They're good. And one of them, out of the 10, came back and said something to Jesus. What about the other 9? Let's talk about them for a minute. They were healed and they were cleansed. They had been having a piece of good luck there. And all of a sudden, these people who were not Samaritans but were, dare I say, good Lutherans, they were good Jews. All right. They had a whole different approach. And they were all of a sudden made better. would you not think that it would be appropriate for them to come back and give thanks? Well, maybe they weren't taught that idea. It's not a rule. And so why? You could if you want to, but you know, the Samaritan did. He was not somebody who was kosher. The term means clean by his faith. Mm-mm. Didn't have the right religion. What difference does that make? The scriptures are full of examples of people that have true religion. Jesus had some things to say about it too. To love mercy, to do mercy, and to abound in good works, not because you want to be noticed, but because that is what you do. And so many of us as Christians fall into that very same pattern. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and didn't feed you, saw you thirsty, didn't give you a drink, and saw you sick, didn't visit you in prison, we didn't see you? Inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, my brothers, you did not do it to me. And on the other hand, inasmuch as you did it to me. Helping each other, helping your fellow man, not because you want to catechize him or her, but when the question does come, speak forth from your heart of faith the blessings that have been given to you. The question may not come. Well, if it doesn't come, I'm not going to give him my sandwich. No, it's not about that. It's not about a condition. Excuse me. It's about an opportunity that is presented to you to witness in your everyday lives about the mercy that God has given you. Sure, you can invite people to come to church and they may not ever respond, but you do it with a smile and you wait. It's all you can do. Because why did you come today? I know the answer, and I think you do too. Because the Spirit of the Lord moved you. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Freitag, you came because Pastor Rockman said he needs help. He's going to go. If that's the only reason I'm here, it's a pitiable thing. We come here to hear the word of the Lord. We come here not just to sing together, to hear that beautiful choir. We come here not just to be with each other. We come here because God has invited us and we don't know what's going to happen. When I was a little kid, one of the most amazing things happened at Calvary Lutheran Church in Lincoln Park, Michigan. A bird got inside during the service. And it was flying all around. I reached over to my mother and I said, "Is that the Holy Spirit?" She says, "No, it's a sparrow." What a killjoy. But anyway, it was a creature of God, and it did catch my attention because Pastor Byers' sermons were over my head. A lot of sermons are still over my head. Whose fault is that? Maybe I'm not old enough to hear yet. I think the fault lies somewhere between here and here, my head and my heart. And when that fault is there, there's not much I can do about it because I get so wrapped up and concerned about my own things, my health, my bills, my friends, my kids. You've got your list, I've got mine. What is it that keeps us from hearing the word of the Lord? Well, we know the real issue of that is that, like those guys that were blessed with healing, sometimes we forget to give thanks. 9 times out of 10, maybe, we forget to give thanks. And maybe that's one of the lessons of this Sunday for you and me. We come today to the altar of the Lord, and everything is different. He doesn't ask if you're worthy. He doesn't ask if you are proper, if you've been taught, he should ask that. I mean, we ask that. But he does not. He simply says, you, this is my body. It's given for you. And that message is Jesus to everyone. This is me, my body given for you. Take and drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. I've often wondered about how many times we go to communion today and we let it fall off of us without increasing our sense of wonder. If there's anything that this modern world, especially today, needs a huge amount of, it's a sense of wonder. If you want to have fun with the people that know all the things that you shop for and tell you about more about you than you can even remember, ask them. But have you got a sense of wonder? That's the same sound you'll hear when you ask that question. What we need today, I think, is much more of a sense of wonder. The Samaritan returning to Jesus had that sense of wonder, because what does a sense of wonder do? Make you say, I wonder if I can monetize this, maybe I can sell it, maybe. No. The sense of wonder, does it say, oh, it was a wonderful experience, maybe you should have this again. How about with all the conditions and see if you can feel good again? No, it's not about that. Sense of wonder is always about something. It's not about your feelings, not about your awareness. It's about what is behind that. Where does it come from? And here in church, we know it doesn't come from within. It comes from the Lord above, who has come to us with the fullness of his grace and mercy. He loves each of you and me. Amazing that he loves me. Amazing. What we need is a sense of wonder that then issues out into all these other, let me use the phrase, wonderful things of mercy. In our church body, we are thankful for our leadership. They have pointed out again and again and again that we exist to do mercy. We don't ignore the teachings of the church, but we exist to do mercy. We just finished a disaster conference in St. Louis. I was not able to attend this year. I attended the first one. It's all about doing mercy in the case of people that are hurt and or hurting. And sometimes we don't know what the future will bring. 2 days ago in California, there was something called the Saddle Ridge Fire. My sister and her husband live right smack in the middle of this fancy trailer park. It's the Beverly Hills of manufactured housing. That's what they say. But in 2008, more structures in that very place were destroyed by fire than in any other fire in the entire history of the state of California. 2 a.m., they were called and said, get out now. That was Friday morning. Yesterday, they were told, it's okay, you can go back in. And their house was saved, and we're thankful for that. So remember, 9 times out of 10, especially those that are entitled, forget to return and give thanks. I'm sure that Kevin and Mary and their kids, and they've got one that's a preacher in the Missouri Synod, one of them is married to another one, another preacher in the Missouri Synod, I'm sure that they're being thankful today. Oh yeah, the third one, she's a nurse. We're all thankful. We stay in touch somewhat with all these modern things. But being thankful is the essence of a response to mercy. Now, you can't demand it. It might be that our church body, in doing some of its works of mercy, hits a stone wall and the people say, well, it's not enough. Better than nothing. I need. Sometimes I need is confused with I want. The scriptures give us a really good thing. It says, having food and raiment, clothing, be therewith content. If you look at Ruth and Naomi, what was the issue there? Food. They had a famine. It drove them out of their land, and Elimelech and Ruth had to take off with Mahlon and Chilion. Great names for a Bible quiz, by the way. If then those guys died, what was the driver? Why didn't she just stay right there? Food. They went back, Ruth said, to my people, my place, there's food there. What brought you to church today? Food. A hamburger? McDonald's? Promise of lunch later? No. Food. Of a spiritual sort. From the word and sacrament, invited by your baptism, to hear the word of God and to keep it. That doesn't mean, in some ways it does, but it doesn't mean lockstep, march. It means to keep thankfulness going. And that's the message that Jesus had for us in telling us about these lepers. Remember, those of you that are come latelys, you're likely to be very, very thankful. No, he was not against the Jews. He was trying to show them that the true religion is to do what? Love God and do mercy. And that's what we are here for today. To receive God's love in this sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, to give us hope in our life no matter what comes ahead, to realize once and again, he loves us, he cares for us, he nourishes us, he feeds us, and his promise is good and solid, that even though you die, yet shall you live. And all the days of our life, to be thankful for God's mercy means not to hoard it. You can't outgive the giver. You can give it away. And so as you befriend people in work, pleasure, business, remember your calling. You're called to be a missionary, to serve the Lord who has loved you and given himself for you, and to share that love with everyone you meet. Is that an easy task? Mm-mm. Is it a scary task? Mm-mm. While it's difficult and scary, it's not you, because it's not about you. Some of us have heard this phrase and dearly love it. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about you and Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Keep that focus clear in your life and in your work ahead and in all the responses that you do. God's brought you together, a wonderful and powerful group, to do what? To love him and serve your neighbor. May you be blessed this day and every day with the mercy of God showered upon you to build you up and to send you out in wherever out is in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. I invite you now to rise and join in the singing of the offertory.